And good morning, Bruce.
And good morning, Cora. And good morning, listeners. Wonderful to have your company here on a Thursday morning, the 1st of October. Can you believe that? October already. We're heading into the last quarter of 2020. It's been a tough year for all of us, hasn't it? And a big shout out to, well, to my son in San Francisco and all the people there in California that are battling those terrible bushfires, grass fires in the Napa Valley and so on. That's absolute tragedy. 80 homes already destroyed and looking very dangerous at this point. Of course, just before we start the program this morning, a veil to Helen Reddy. Wow, 78 years, an Australian icon. And we're going to be playing in a little while in tribute to her, I Am Woman, one of her best-known songs, of course. For the trivia for today, I heard this morning on the radio, you believe everything on the radio, of course, that oysters, did you know that a single oyster can filter up to 150 litres a day of water? That's amazing. I didn't know that. So there you go. There's the trivia for today. A shout-out to all our regular listeners this morning and to anybody out there who may be listening for the first time. I'm Bruce Argyle. Our Community Conversations program here with Cora has been going for, well, we're nearly at 6 years, Cora, hard to believe. And every week we have interesting people that, well, are doing something worthwhile, whether that's in a leadership role, as part of a community group, as a not-for-profit, as someone who's got an interesting story to tell. And this morning, back from the sojourn, can we call it that? We're all very envious, Megan Buntine. Your travels around Queensland and New South Wales over recent weeks, you got out just before the COVID restrictions, and you're back. Welcome home.
Thank you. Yes, it was more of an odyssey than a holiday, I guess. 5 weeks turned into 15 weeks, but it was
15.
It was,
wow,
the opportunity to be out and about and have some sunshine and pretend to be a grey nomad for the winter.
You're not even grey, Megan. So, well done. And I know you got out to the back blocks of Queensland because we zoomed you in as we are today. Zoomed you in from that place that I've just forgotten, right out in the back of Queensland.
All sorts of places. We're out at Ingham, we're out at Cunnamulla.
That's the one, Cunnamulla.
We went across to the Gulf. So, yeah, crisscrossed out back in far north Queensland. It was a great experience.
Now,
and then came home to snow on the weekend.
Yes, and for some people, they're already ready to switch off our program this morning because we're all envious, Megan, and we don't like talking about travel because we're all locked down until at least the 19th of October. It's pretty tough here in Victoria, you know.
I know. But look, the numbers are coming down. It's great to see. So we've just got to hang in there a little bit longer.
We do.
We'll get there.
We do. So, listeners, thanks for being a part of our conversation this morning. A big shout out to anybody whose name starts with Grant. So I guess that's Grant Hooper and who was that swimmer? Grant Hackett, that's the one, because this morning we are going to be talking about, well, not those kind of grants, but grants and fundraising and philanthropy, and what are the tricks, what are the tips to, well, securing funding and support and resources for your community group, for your organisation, for that great project that you have. But let's kick off with a tribute to Helen Reddy.
Numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend. 'Cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor. No one's ever gonna keep me down again. Whoa, yes, I'm wise, but it's wisdom for the pain. Yes, I paid the price, but look how much I gained. If I have to, I can do anything. I am strong,
strong.
I am invincible,
invincible.
I am woman.
And, of course, that was Helen Reddy and I Am Woman, and what an amazing woman she was. Passed away yesterday, age 78, an Australian icon. And I don't know about you, Megan, but I was listening to some of her songs yesterday, and, wow, she really did have some real classics, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. And I think her music just lives through the decades, and it's still relevant and strikes a chord with people today.
Yes. Now, for those of you that haven't heard Megan before, I better at least give an introduction, Megan, for those first-time listeners. Megan is an amazing not-for-profit community group supporter. She does lots of stuff around governance, strategic planning and training and workshops and giving tips on grants and helping secure resources for community groups and for not-for-profits. And so I can't think of anyone better to be having this conversation with this morning. Thank you so much for your time, Megan. And we'll give contact details later on. But Megan, I actually had the good fortune to write an article for Pro Bono last week. I'm not sure whether you saw it, but if you'd like to read it, it's on my LinkedIn profile, Bruce Argyle, and it's all about the donation coin, the $2 donation coin that's being released this month. I don't know whether you might not have seen that in your travels, Megan.
Yeah, I heard about that, and the whole idea of encouraging people when it comes into your hand to pass it on as a donation to somebody else, I think that's a great idea. I think, in Australia, perhaps we can think a bit more about how we can sort of support our community groups. I know in America's got a really big culture of philanthropy, and I think Australia is starting to do more of that, and I think there's a lot more we could do in that space, I guess is what I'm saying.
Anyway, we'll leave that for your reading pleasure, listeners. If you get the chance, have a look at the I know it's on the Pro Bono website, so have a look there. But Megan, let's sort of open up the whole grants and resources area. I mean, I'm assuming we'll cover this morning a little bit about local government and state government and federal government and some of the philanthropic sources and all that. There's lots of avenues, aren't there, for groups?
There sure is. And I think, what prompted me to think this might have been a good topic to discuss today was I was part of a webinar a few weeks ago that my local federal MP, Helen Haynes, in the electorate of Indi put on. She's really strong in supporting community organisations to go out and find the funding that they need to do the projects that they want to do. She's got a lot of resources on her website. So whilst Victoria was in regional Victoria as well, was in that stay-at-home state. She ran a series of webinars to go through the resources that she had on her website, but also to enable people to come together online and break out into little groups and have little discussions about what are the different techniques and tips and tricks and different things that we've all discovered, I guess, in our journeys in writing grant applications over the years, what's worked, what hasn't worked so well. So it was a great experience for me, and I've written a lot of grant applications in my time and helped a lot of community groups write grant applications, but I think it's still good to have those conversations because you always learn something new from other people. And in fact, though, that webinar is on Helen's website, so if people, and she had people from all over the country, not just from the Indi electorate, who were zooming into that meeting. I think they had across the four webinars, which was four repeats of the same content, they had, I think it was 880-odd people zoom in.
So she's the independent member for Indi, the electorate of Indi,
yeah,
isn't she?
Yeah, she is. She followed on from Kathy McGowan. So Helen has that on her website now, a recording of one of those four sessions. So anyone can go in and access that. You don't have to be a resident of her electorate.
Wow, so that's a great resource to start this morning off with.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's just helenhaynes.gov.au or something like that. But yes, if you Google Helen Haynes website and resources and grants, you'll find that there.
So let's get a handle on when we talk about grants. We're talking about everything, Megan, it seems to me, from operational grants to grants for programs, for particular services, for capital, for equipment, and everything.
Yeah, all manner of things. And I think one of the interesting things is often you'll find the granting bodies have their particular niche, if you like, or their particular area that they want to see their resources going into. So, for example, some organisations I know won't fund payment for staffing hours. It's about they particularly want to see something created. They want to have some legacy developed through the money that they give you, whereas other organisations would be quite happy to fund staffing time to enable things to happen. So you've got to really do some research about the particular grant that you're looking for. Does it fit the project that you've got? And if it doesn't, it may not be worth your applying. I think it's a really good tip to get in touch with the granting body and have a conversation with them about what it is that you're trying to do, because that is a really good way of, at the outset, understanding whether you've got half a chance of them considering is what you're proposing something that's attractive to them. But the other thing I think that is beneficial about making that contact is you've created the beginnings of a relationship and a connection. So if somebody's then going through this pile of 100 applications, yours is at least going to stand out for them from just the mere point, oh, yeah, I had a conversation with that person. And so it's building that connection. I've certainly found in my experience that that helps in the past. You build that relationship and it does make it more likely that you have success.
That's a great tip right there, Megan, because as we all know, those of us that have written grants over the grant applications over the years, we could be spending, 4, 6, 8 hours on an application, and why not have the 5 or 10 minute conversation to ascertain, in fact, whether you meet the criteria and whether you might be considered.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. So let's think about this a little, Megan. We're a community group. We're a not-for-profit organisation, and we should perhaps say that most but not all granting bodies, whether they're government or philanthropic, are about funding organisations typically that have tax deductibility status. They most of them don't fund individuals. There's some exceptions, but most don't. I guess in saying that, the Australian Sports Foundation does fund individuals, etc. So there are exceptions, but by and large, most grants go to organisations that are incorporated or standalone organisations, don't they?
Yeah, I find that most grants that I've come across, at least, they're looking for not-for-profits. Some also require you to have that deductible gift recipient status, the DGR status. Not all. Occasionally, I guess it depends where you're looking too. I know post bushfires, there was a lot of grants around then in our area for business support and startups and those sorts of things. And I imagine post COVID, there'll be a bit of that too, or there already has been, particularly around the tourism sector. But on the whole, I think that most grants that in the space that I'm operating at any rate are targeted fairly and squarely towards not-for-profits. So, for example, for myself as a business person, I can't go out and apply for a lot of those grants. The actual community group or not-for-profit organisation has to apply for that particular grant.
So let's put you on the spot, Megan. We're saying that there's grants for everything out there. So let's say I'm a small... I kind of know the answer to this one, but I'm just going to put you on the spot. So I'm a small community of less than 10,000 people, and I'm looking for perhaps some support with strategic planning or good governance or something for my group. Where might I start for that one?
Well, look, I think my go-to for something like that would be the Foundation for Rural and Regional Renewal. And obviously that's targeted towards the rural and regional parts of, well, not just Victoria. They operate all across Australia, but they have a really good grant program that is targeted, and I'm pretty sure it's under 10,000 population that can help community-based organisations in those areas. So that's usually one of the first places that I'll go to and have a conversation with FRRR, or get the organisation to have a conversation with FRRR. Another organisation that I sometimes refer people to as well is a group down in Gippsland Way called Grants Only Group. Now, they're an organisation, they're not for profit themselves, but their whole purpose is to help the rest of us find funds to do the projects that we want to do. So they are they're constantly scouring all the various grant newsletters that go around out there. I mean, we all get different ones, and sometimes the amount of information that comes into your inbox with those sorts of things can be overwhelming, whereas they get those and they go through them. Things like the Our Community monthly grant newsletter, which can be, you know, 60 to 80 pages a month, which for most people is just, you don't have the time to go through that. Well, they do. That's part, that's their core business. So they're very au fait with what those sorts of newsletters and publications, bulletins contain and where the grants are currently on offer. So if you go to them with your project and you lodge your project with them, which there's a small fee to do that, they will look on your behalf whilst they're going through all those
Wow, that's a great places. That's a great resource.
Yeah. So if they find something that's applicable, they'll work with you. They can help you to actually write the application if you need that sort of help as well. There's a further small fee if you're successful with your application. I can't remember what the exact figures are, sure. But it wasn't onerous. Quite frankly, I'd be quite happy to go down to Bunnings when we're allowed to do that again and flip sausages to make the money to pay them for helping me get a grant,
yes.
Be successful.
Yeah, well done, well done. Hey, Megan, you've selected some songs for us this morning. I've already had my one with Helen Reddy, but the first one you selected was Cyndi Lauper, Money Changes Everything. And before we put that on, I mean, it's a fact, isn't it, that not-for-profits do need money. You know, they really do need the resources.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, you know, there's been a bit of a shift over sort of recent decades about the way we think about not-for-profits. I think historically it was very much that they were charities, they were not to carry over funds, they were running on the smell of an oily rag, which they still do. But now it's a bit more business-like. We do things where we need sometimes bigger amounts of money to do the things that we want to do. We've got, I don't know, bigger dreams, perhaps some of the little community groups.
And the term that I know both of us use, you know, inclined to is profit for purpose, you know, that there is, you know, that we do cover our costs.
We're not for profit, but we're not for loss.
let's listen to Cyndi Lauper.
I'm
And after the 11 o'clock news this morning, the amazing Corazon and Luke Sinclair, they're going to be talking with Ben Hutchings, Squish Face Comics Studio in Brunswick. And that's been the one that you've all been waiting for, that was deferred a couple of weeks ago due to a technical glitch. So Art Journal after 11 o'clock, make sure you are listening. And a big shout out to Deb Kotick and the Uniting Church, Yarra Rangers Parish, and that was a fantastic interview talking about her time in working in prisons last week. Fantastic, absolutely amazing. Deb, if you're listening. And this morning, our very special guest returned home from a sojourn or something in New South Wales and Queensland, the amazing Megan Buntine. And if you are looking, well, looking to contact Megan, probably her website, which is mjbconsulting.net.au, is the best place to start. There's all sorts of resources on there for not-for-profit community groups and the like. And we're not doing so many workshops and training at the moment, Megan, but I'm sure that time will come again.
Yeah, indeed. And I'm sure coming out the other side of this, we'll do lots more of them online too.
Yeah, fantastic. So this morning, if you've just joined us, we're talking about securing grants, getting resources, finances, well, money we're talking about for your community group, for your not-for-profit group. And Megan was just telling me off air that in 2019 alone, there was $23 billion in federal government grants alone, Megan. That is staggering.
Yeah, that was one of the figures that came out of the workshop that Helen Haynes ran last month. $23 billion last year alone in federal government funding. I mean, that's, you know,
that's mind-boggling.
And local government and, you know, non-government avenues for funding, philanthropic funding, business sponsorships, a whole range of things. So I think that sort of is a good segue into thinking beyond just grants as well when we're trying to bring resources into our organisation. You know, think what are the – there's a whole range of different avenues, whether it's about developing a partnership with a local business that what you're doing as a not-for-profit resonates with them or in some way fits with what they do and they want to be your sponsor. I mean, we see that a lot with our sporting clubs in local areas. Often they'll have local businesses provide them with an annual sponsorship. It could be things like, you know, the more traditional, if you like, ways of fundraising, things like raffles and, you know, I remember as a kid at school, the old cake stall was always a thing. But if you're looking at big dollars, obviously that's not going to get you across the line. But I do remember a comment, it might have been one that Kathy McGowan made at one point, that so many things in our communities are funded by cake stalls and raffles. So you can get a lot of money out of those, I guess. Doing it. But I guess the other thing that I've found, at least in my experience, is you've got to come up with different ways of fundraising. It's sort of, you can't repeat the same approach all the time because people get bored with it. The people who you're going to go to buy your raffle tickets or sponsor your walkathon or whatever, they want to see something different and interesting and innovative. And that in itself reminds me of something we did when I was on the board at Rivers and Rangers. We did a walkathon and our goal was to raise $5,000 to fund a place in the program. So we did, it was a walkathon with a difference. We called it the Great Chicken Run. So there was nine of us.
Sounds like fun already.
Yeah, well, nine of us dressed up as chickens and walked the rail trail over at Yay. And so it was amazing because just in those nine of us, we managed to raise over $5,000 through our friends and family. And
that's not a paltry amount, Megan.
It's not a paltry amount at all. You should have heard all the paltry puns that were coming out at that time. But, you know, to do something a bit crazy like that and say to people, would you pay $50 to see me walk 5Ks dressed as a chicken, resonates with people. You can't do it again and again. You've got to come up with different ideas all the time. So you really think outside the square. You know, it might be that you've got some sort of a social enterprise arm that you can establish. I think the op shops are a classic example of social enterprises that provide funding for charities and not-for-profits. So, yeah, whether it's bequests or you have a donation program, hospitals commonly do those sorts of approaches to fundraising, or just sending out an envelope. I know that we get an envelope in the mail once a year from the local hospital encouraging you to donate towards their funds. So a whole range of...
And locally, you wouldn't have heard of this because you've been away, Megan, but locally, My Little Kitchen, shout out to you, Ben, in Healesville has been donating meals to HICI, you know, meals that are given then free of charge to people in the community that need them.
Yeah, and there's been a similar program that's been set up from the Embassy of Ideas in Alexandria across Murrindindi, working with food businesses across Murrindindi for Murrindindi meals, same sort of approach, yeah.
Mm. Megan, what's the starting point here? Does it mean that a committee or a board of a community group needs to first have, what, some kind of plan or something or other? How does that best work, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point to make. And I think I've said this before on your show, time and time again, I'm having organisations coming to me saying, can you help us put a strategic plan into place because we need it to go with a grant application. Grant making bodies want to see that what you're asking for fits with your broader, you know, your bigger picture as an organisation. So how does the money that they're going to give you help you to achieve the purposes of your organisation? So I think that's the first point to start from, you know, who are we, what do we do, why do we do it, and therefore how does this sort of flow through from that? Right. Having, you know, even having, as I said before, a bit of a fundraising plan so it's, you can see how it fits in there within the broader picture. So I think you've got to be much more strategic perhaps than you did in the past.
Yes, more competition brands. Too, Megan, I think.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah. Hey, look, let's reflect on that a little bit with my favourite, ABBA, Money, Money, Money. Here we go. Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations, and this morning we're talking grants, fundraising, securing resources for the amazing work that you and your group are doing. And if you've got your pen handy, or your iPad or something or other, just jot down these as some as some go-to places after the program. Megan's already mentioned the Grants Only group. Wendy Don is the convener of that group. For a group that you could go to help you locate grants, that's a great start. Megan's also mentioned Our Community as a source of grants. And I might just mention that the Philanthropy Australia website, their directory of funders, is available. There's a small cost for that, but they have a list of all the, well, many of the philanthropic funding bodies. That's a great place to go. And off air, we're also talking that there's other resources like 101 Ways to Fundraise Megan herself on her website, mjbconsulting.net.au, will point you in the right direction on a lot of the things we've been talking about this morning. Did I miss a few there, Megan? There's lots of others too, aren't there? I think we've just lost Megan there for a moment, so here we go. We're back on. Sorry, Megan.
No, that's okay. Sorry. I'll just add in Helen Haynes' website is actually helenhaynes.org/resources/grants.
Fantastic. And that was the webinars that you were mentioning earlier on, Megan.
Yeah, that's the one. Yep.
Fantastic. So Cora was asking me off air, you know, do we need to ascertain first up, you know, what do we need the money for? You know, is it for a vehicle so we can transport meals, or is it for a particular program or a service? I'm assuming that, Megan, forms part of the strategic plan for the organisation, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's a good way of underlining that, and I think the example you've used is a really good one. You know, if your overall vision is to support people who are experiencing difficult times, part of that is through providing food assistance, part of that is to deliver meals, you need a vehicle to be able to deliver your meals. So there's your chain back to what is your purpose as an organisation, and that's why we need to go out and fundraise $30,000 to purchase a vehicle, for example. So I think how you can draw that line between what it is you're wanting the money for and how it fits with your overall purpose as an organisation. It paints a picture for the funder, and it brings them into your story, helps them understand your story, and makes them more, I guess, likely to resonate with that and to give you some money towards your overall goal.
Mm. I'm going on to a grants committee meeting immediately after this program, Megan, and one of the things that sadly happens over and over again is that people don't tell that story very well, and you have to wade through, in this case, 290 applications to really drill down on. Some of them make it really hard for you to understand what it is actually that they want. You know, what are they going to be using the money for?
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a really good point, and that's something that came out of the webinars last month, was be succinct in the way you put it across. They're not looking for a thesis. They're just they want something that's simple, to the point, and tells them that message in a quick way. I think sometimes people get quite anxious about writing grant applications. They feel they can't do it. They feel that they need to, you know, be able to wordsmith really well. And, look, you've got to be able to write clearly, but you don't need to be able to write, you know, War and Peace to get it through them. In fact, that can be an impediment. And for someone like me who tends to use far too many words, it's always good to have somebody else who can get out with the culling red pen and cut it down. So let's just keep it as short and as succinct as possible.
A bit like the elevator speech, Megan, and we perhaps should underscore that if you are contacting funding bodies, respect their time and pressures they're under too, and think through what it is that you want to say in 2 minutes or 5 minutes. They don't want to hear the whole load on the phone, do they?
No, and oftentimes they'll have a word limit or even a character limit. If you're doing online applications, that can often be the case. So it won't let you put in too much. So you've got a limited amount of words. Use them wisely.
Hmm. Look, we're going to go to another song in a moment, Money for Nothing. Does anybody know who sang Money for Nothing? Well, it was Dire Straits. But before we go there, I just want to give an initial plug, an early plug for, well, our fundraising effort here at Yarra Valley FM 99.1. We have a radiothon coming up the 17th to the 30th of October. Many listeners will be familiar with that. It's one of the, aside from the amazing supporters that we have on a day-to-day basis, this is our one and only sort of annual fundraising event. Bring on Better Days is what we're calling it this year. And you'll have opportunity to be a part of that in the last 2 weeks of October. But let's go to Money for Nothing. This morning has been Megan Buntine, and we're talking fundraising, grants, securing resources for organisations out there. And I'm going to be cheeky, Megan, and just suggest that, you know, with all these opportunities that we're talking about this morning from federal, local, state, government, philanthropy, and all over the place, I guess I can just, you know, put together a generic submission and cut and paste and send it the same thing off to all of them.
Well, no, sorry. I think, look, to a certain degree, I think after you've done a few grant applications, you'll find that you can copy and paste some of the information, particularly the, you know, about us sort of information. But I think increasingly grant makers don't want to see a cookie-cutter approach to grant writing. So make sure you tailor to their what they're looking for, what this particular project is. I mean, you might be applying to six different organisations for the one project to bring funding in for it.
Right.
But really try and tweak it to what are they looking for. And I think that one of the key tips that I picked up a few years ago was with regard to your letters of support, don't just use template letters of support. Organisations want to see that there's some thought gone into it, that the person who's writing that letter of support for you actually understands what you're talking about, mm-hmm. and speaks to that particular project and that particular grant. So just having a generic letter from the CEO of the local council, for example, saying, I support Megan Buntine in her project, it isn't going to cut the mustard.
Right.
You really want them. It might be that you actually draft the letter for them, but make it really talk to that particular project and that particular grant.
Otherwise, it doesn't really carry weight, is what you're saying, Megan.
It doesn't. It's viewed fairly dimly from what I've heard from grant makers.
Mm. All right. Well, let's give those resources, those contacts, one more time, and just. Just to sum things up, Megan, we're rapidly running out of time, so we've got just a couple of minutes. So let's give those websites, contacts out one more time, and Megan, you might just summarise what I think we've been saying this morning by way of tips. So for Megan herself, just go to her website. There's all sorts of free resources there and contacts. It's mjbconsulting.net.au. Go to the Philanthropy Australia Funding Directory. There's a small fee for that. That's an online directory of philanthropics. You can go to the Grants Only group, to Wendy Don and her team down there. And just give us the Helen Haynes one again, please, Megan.
So it's helenhaynes.org/resources/grants. And the other one I'll just add into the mix also is our community. They have their monthly grant newsletter there, if that's of interest.
Yeah, fantastic. So lots of resources available there for people that are involved in trying to secure, well, all important resources for community groups. So Megan, let's wrap it up. What are we saying are some of the really important things?
I think talk to your funder, talk to the grant maker, get in touch with them, have a conversation. Make sure that what you're proposing fits with what they're wanting to fund, but also to create that connection with them so that you're out of the 290 applications, it might stand out a little bit more.
Yes.
Have some sort of a strategic plan that accompanies your grant application to make sure that they can see the connection between what you're wanting them to give you money for, how that, I guess, fits back to your overall purposes for your organisation. Sometimes it goes well to show that you've had a connection with the local council as well. They often like to see that you're partnering with them or consulting with them about what it is that you're doing. So that's the whole idea of community and government. We're sort of working hand in hand.
And Megan, on that happy note, I'm going to have to cut you off. Just to say, we are out of time again. Thank you so much for being on the program, for returning home to us, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Bruce. Good to talk to you today.